Well, we're getting ready for an annual business meeting, and I want to speak to you about the qualities of leadership. Let me give you three things tonight from the book of Joshua about leadership, please. Joshua's leadership qualities blessed both his life and the lives of others around him. When we embrace, I believe, the same qualities that Joshua embraced, I think we can experience God's blessings and bless those also around us. Leadership has always been a key factor in the rise and fall of nations and corporations or churches. In fact, and I got this out of Henry Blackaby's book, he wrote a book called Called to Be God's Leader. In it, he said this: leadership is rising to the occasion to meet God's purpose in a specific moment in time. And then he said about Joshua, there was more to Joshua's success than personal giftedness, perseverance, or luck. His life was clearly directed by God. God's hand was powerfully upon him. God's wisdom skillfully guided him. He was a divinely lived life. Now, I read that today, and I thought about that, and I thought about how that God still uses people today for his purposes and for his glory. And let me remind everybody here that God is still in the business of transforming lives for his glory. Amen? God can still do that. His powerful instruments. God wants us to become a powerful instrument of his. Now the question is not about God's capability. It's about our availability. Our lives are available to God. Are they? Our lives as available to God as Joshua was available to his God? Are we prepared for God to use us? Are we ready for God to make us his leader? I believe that if we want to achieve all that God desires for us, we must have sufficient base for leadership qualities, the same qualities that marked Joshua's life. I'm going to give you three things very, very quickly, because we're looking tonight at leadership in our church. We have some appointments we're making as a deacon board about our church operations. We also have to elect four deacons to the deacon board tonight. Qualities of leadership. Number one, what qualities marked Joshua's life? Well, let's look, please. Everyone must understand that leaders possess a servant's heart. Every great leader possesses a servant's heart. Now, before he was a leader, before Joshua ever became a leader, he was a servant. He served under Moses for almost 40 years. And guess where he served? In the desert. I'd say that's dedication. He served Moses in the wilderness, in the desert, for 40 years. It had to have been a humbling experience. He served Moses, who led Israel around the desert for 40 years long. Can you imagine the frustration? Can you imagine the thinking? Here's the people who were 20 years of age and older all died in the wilderness or in the desert. They did not go into the promised land. And so here is Joshua following Moses' leadership. And as he follows, this old guy dies, and this lady dies, and then this guy dies, and before long, all these people are dying, and he's following Moses' leadership, and people all around are dying. Not only that, but Moses can't lead them out of the wilderness. He can't get them out of the desert. You'd think after 40 years, they'd know about where they might be, but they don't know where they are. And Moses can't figure it out either. And Joshua just keeps following Moses' leadership. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm afraid I'd have to ask a few things. And I might have something to say about the leadership of that time. If we can't find our way out of this wilderness, out of the desert, 40 years long, somebody in our church would say, hey, where are we going? What are we doing? Sure you would. Old Joshua just kept faithful to Moses. He didn't become bitter. He didn't become angry. He simply used that time to serve God under the leadership of Moses. Now go with me to Exodus chapter 33. Look, if you will, at verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. I want you to notice something there. The Bible teaches us he did not leave the tabernacle. Joshua stayed in the tabernacle. What was he doing? He was seeking God's face. He was worshiping God. Joshua was a willing servant of the Lord and Moses, and that required the quality of humility. What a wonderful quality to have. Humility. We should learn that greatness begins with humility and service. Leaders possess a servant's heart. As a Christian, it's not how much you know. It's not how great your abilities are. It's not how much power you have. It's not how much money you have. Jesus teaches us, as well as Joshua, that the greatest leaders have, number one, a servant's heart. Every great leader in the Word of God and every great leader who's alive today has, number one, a servant's heart. Great leaders are people who have no problem with serving other people. Number two, Joshua's life was also marked by growing in faith. Leaders grow in their faith in God. Joshua was one of the 12 spies sent out by the man of God to spy out the land. When Israel was led by Moses to at the edge of Canaan, he's going to spy out the land, check it out. Go with me, if you will, to Numbers chapter 13, verse 25 through 28. We'll take time to read these, if you will. 10 of the spies demonstrated their lack of faith in God. Now, we know the story. 12 spies went in, 10 spies came back saying, no way. Look at verse 25 through 28. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell there in that land, and the cities are walled. They're very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Suddenly, they came back saying, no way. Those two spies, Joshua and Caleb, came back. This is chapter now 14, verse 6. And Joshua and Caleb had a different story. They came back literally saying, wow, what an opportunity. Hey, look at this land. What an opportunity we have in this land. God's given this to us, and he's given us a victory. Let's go. Follow me, please, as I read in Numbers 14. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into that land, into this land, and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only, rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, on one side, we have 10 men saying, yeah, the land does flow with milk and honey. You're right. But, man, we're there. Look at the fruit. It's great. It's huge. It's great. It's wonderful. But we've been there, and the people are huge, and the cities are walled, and there are giants in that land, and we look like grasshoppers in their sight. They'll smash us. But two came back saying, they're right, the land does flow with milk and honey. The fruit is wonderful. Yeah, the giants are there, the walls are there, yeah, but the Lord of heaven has given us this land. Let's go take it. Joshua said, we can do it. Caleb said, we can do it. God had given Israel an opportunity. Indeed, Caleb and Joshua were right. But they didn't go in. They settled on wandering around, chasing their tails. 40 years! Couldn't believe God. Again, go back to Exodus chapter 33 real quickly, please. Instead of stewing about this failure in the people, Joshua was proactive in growing his own faith and leading the people in his devotions to God. Every day, where was he? According to Exodus 33, verse 11, where was he every day? He was in the tabernacle. Remember? He was in the tabernacle. And Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Every day. His devotion to God. He emphasized both humility and growth. One day was not enough with God. 2 days was not enough with God. Every day is the kind of devotion that Joshua knew. And I wonder if it's that kind of devotion that God rewarded by calling him to be the leader upon entering the land of Canaan. Because God called upon him, remember, to now take over leadership. You see, disappointment and failure of others will always affect our lives. We must realize that God's church, as a human group of people, we must realize that we will fail. And we must realize, as church people, we will see people fall. It happens. Churches fail. We're just people. We will make bad choices sometimes. We will make, as people, selfish decisions at times. Let's think about this. Can we name a few recent failures in churches that we've heard on the TV and radio in our generation? Well, we have heard of churches that have child abuse in churches. Amen? We've heard the stories on the news, scandals. Money-hungry television evangelist. We've heard over the years how they spent millions on a doghouse. We've heard those stories. We've seen those stories. Skyrocketing divorce inside the church walls. Mean, spirited, judgmental people. Sometimes the worst people are Christian people for this mean-spirited, judgmental people. You'd think they ought to be the sweetest people in the world, and sometimes they act like it. And then sometimes they act like the mean-spirited people that they are. It's so ruthless and so mean. And we've seen it happen in our churches. Consumer-hungry Christians, division, strifes. Yes, we can always think of failures in the church. But instead of throwing the church by the wayside, we should look at the life of Joshua. Joshua spent his days worshiping, serving God, while serving God's servant Moses. And as a leader, he continually grew in his faith. And because of that, a lifestyle of faith, it changed his life and changed others around him. I believe if you keep to the faith, you keep loving God, keep faithful to him, it will not only change your life, it'll change everybody around you. Oh, the qualities of leadership. The first quality is a leader possesses a servant's heart. The second, a leader grows in their faith in God. I want you to go with me, if you will, please, to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua's faith became an inspiration to the nation around him. At the end of Joshua's life, we don't find him in an extramarital affair like David. We don't find him like that. We find Joshua urging Israel to follow God and to keep God's ways. In fact, if you'll look at Joshua 24, 1 through 28 sometime. We're not going to read all those passages tonight. But 1 through 28 tells you that story. And then he's remembered for challenging the people to serve the Lord. On the screen, you see it. It's chapter 24, verse 31. There you see where he said, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua." You see that? Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Why? Because Joshua was a man who led by faith. And he lived by faith. And all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel, they lived for the Lord. Joshua's life was a continual growth in faith. Joshua pursued God's call to a relationship rather than merely becoming a religious leader. If we could get everybody in leadership to understand, you don't just become a religious leader, you become a leader by your relationship built with Almighty God. The relationship with God is built first, and then God places you in leadership ability with people. The relationship with God is vitally important. That's what Joshua had. Number three, and I'll be finished. Leaders prioritize godly values. God's word gave Joshua certain guidelines to follow. So Joshua knew and followed God's word. Joshua didn't become a leader by chance. No, he became God's leader because God anointed him for the task. How did Joshua maintain his role? What did he do to continue to fulfill his duty? It was quite simple. He remembered and obeyed simply God's word. I pointed to God's word this morning, and I'll point to it again tonight. Leaders, we must follow the Word of God. There is no other book to follow but the Word of God. The Bible, the blessed Word of God Himself. We've got to follow the book. That's what Joshua did. He instructed him from the book, and Joshua lived by the book. He said, God said, do this. He said, I'll do it. Look at Joshua chapter 24, verse number 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey. You see, after he lived this life of dedication before the people, what did the people do? They said, hey, we're going to serve your God. We're going to live after your God. We're going to follow your God. That's exactly what happens when a leader follows the Holy Spirit of God. A leader's faith is built upon obedience to God's word. The scriptures serve as a guide to understanding God's purpose for our lives. Go with me to Romans chapter 10, please. If we want to discover how we fit into God's plans, we must look at God's word. That's what Joshua did. That's how he built his life on the word of God. Faith comes by what? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how life is built. That's how faith is built. So we really can't expect one to be a person of faith without being a person of God's word. When we choose leaders in our church, let's make sure they're leaders of God's word. Let's not place them in positions of leadership, hoping that someday they'll become a person of God's word. Let's let them become the person of God's word first, and then put them in positions of leadership. That's what's so important. Following God's word. Obeying God's word. The scriptures provide us principles which go beyond what we can see or sometimes even what we can imagine. And then secondly, prayer energized Joshua's life. Joshua prayed for the people when they failed. Go with me to Joshua chapter 7, please, if you will. And look at verse 6. 7, 8, and 9. Joshua prayed for the people. We have already seen him continually in the tabernacle in the wilderness. Following the great defeat at Ai, what did Joshua do, the leader? And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. And he and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content to dwell and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? The Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? He prayed for the people. And Israel faced battle. We find him crying out to God in Joshua chapter 10, verse 9 through 14. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal at night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to the Betharon and smote them at Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Betharon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were much which died with hailstones, and they whom the Lord of Israel slew with a sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in that day, and the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand still upon Gibeon. Thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, and the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. He prayed. Prayer enabled Joshua to let his concerns be heard. You know, it was said about Abraham Lincoln that he prayed. As the President of the United States, in all the history books that we read, it says Abraham Lincoln knew God, and he prayed. And he was always very attentive when someone else prayed publicly. Ladies and gentlemen, great leaders find a way to pray. I did not know it, but somebody said at the swearing in of our governor of the state of Ohio, who told me that this morning? Are you still here? Yeah, all right, back there. See, at the inauguration of the governor, that he had his kids' Christian school. He sends his kids to a Christian school. I didn't know that. And they came in and recited the Pledge of Allegiance from the Christian school. And then, for his song, he had played How Great Thou Art. And she told me this morning, Pastor, did you hear it? Did you see it? I said, no, I must have missed it. And she said, at that inauguration, they sang How Great Thou Art, and they sang every single verse. And our newest governor sang it with them. And he knew every word. Now that's encouraging. That's encouraging. What do leaders do? Real leaders know how to pray. Real leaders know how to get a hold of God. Priorities, godly values. Prayer is an essential quality that all Christians must embrace if we're going to really be ready for the Lord to put us in leadership positions. Well, we see that Joshua possessed a servant's heart. He was committed to growth in his faith, and he prioritized godly values in his life. That's what leaders do. God's word and prayer is such a priority in the life of a leader. When we are faithful in living out these values, I think something happens to us. We not only will be blessed ourselves by being individuals who have these traits, but we'll bless those around us. And those around us will be blessed because we're following this wonderful book. Let me tell you one more time that in church work, I hope it never becomes this way. It's not a popularity contest to put people in leadership positions. It's not at all. Leaders should come from men, women who are God-ordained men and women who are loving God, serving God, and know this book, and have surrendered to the Word of God and to a life of prayer. Tonight we're going to do some business as a church. This is a great church. This is a wonderful place to gather and to meet and to sing the songs and worship the Lord. But it only will stay good if our leadership stays good, strong, faithful before Almighty God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you.
On behalf of Pastor James Lewis and the entire Harvest Baptist Temple, we'd like to say thank you for downloading this message, and it's our prayer it's been a blessing and an encouragement to you. Would you do us just a small favor, please? Take a minute and send us an email just to let us know where in the world you're listening to this message. For example, if you live in China, just simply say, "I'm from China," and give us the title of the message you downloaded. If you'd like to give us more detail, that's fine too. We would just like to know how many people in different parts of the world we're touching through this ministry. The email address is harvest@harvestbaptisttemple.com. We won't put you on any kind of a mailing list, and we certainly won't give your email address to anybody else. Thank you for taking a minute to help us out, and thank you for downloading this message. For more information about the Harvest Baptist Temple, look us up online at considerharvest.com. Considerharvest.com. God bless you.